Fortnite has made James Earl Jones curse, which probably isn't what his family wanted. Plus, Hideo Kojima wants to make a game with a worse memory than you. Tonight is May 18th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. Happy May. It's time for another evening of Hogwash. There is some Hogwash tonight. Hello, everybody. And welcome to a not forgetful episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of the Geeks Network, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So come join us, interact with the show directly. I will say I am not positive I will be here next Sunday night. It is a holiday weekend here in America. It is Memorial Day weekend, so a lot of us have Monday off. And I may be doing something on that Sunday night, but as of right now, when I'm recording this, I am not. So I will be here on Sunday nights. But that may change during the week. Please watch my Blue Sky or watch the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch Discord, because we are a podcast and we post on the Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, to see what's going to happen on Sunday night. If I'm going to be here, OLR may be here by themselves. I don't know. It is a holiday weekend here in the United States, and so it's a good three-day weekend for those of us with jobs that don't have that much PTO, and we'd like to take every day that we can. We're not like Europe in that regard. But anyway, but we might be here next week. We'll have some fun, and we're getting rapidly up to the, you know, where we need some gaming impressions of things, because the Switch 2 is coming out in just a couple weeks here in the U.S., for those that were able to get it. I did get an email from Nintendo saying, yeah, so you're still in the list to buy a Switch 2 from us, but just wait a little bit longer. And I've got my pre-order from Best Buy, but I did the Nintendo store thing like a lot of other people, and I'm pretty far down in the queue. Anyway. Yes, I did say we were a podcast. Fognetwork.com/Discord is where you can find us during the week and suggest things that you want to talk about throughout the week. Or you can be here on Sunday nights in Twitch, where there's a hype train going on. Thank you so much for that hype train. Unfortunately, we are going to start off tonight by not being hype. This is kind of more of a community personal thing that I'm going to be talking about, but we actually lost a member of our community who was actually going to become a larger part of our community, because he is a fellow podcaster, a fellow content creator, and we were actually in talks, and we didn't tell anybody about this. We were in talks to bring him and some of his content over to the Voice of Geeks Network and try to kind of revive, have a few more podcasts that were different than just video games. And this is somebody that he would be in our chat room every once in a while, and he went by VO by Kurt, and we would sometimes say Voby Kurt, just because it's funny. But he was a voiceover. He did voiceovers for commercials and other, you know, commercials and theater productions, and he did some story readings and stuff like that. And he did a couple podcasts. One was about the MCU. It was This Week in MCU, and it was basically him and someone else reviewing the current Marvel television series, or an episode of a television series from Marvel or a movie and anything like that. But he also did a podcast called Plus Size Stories, which doesn't necessarily immediately relate to what we do at Vogue, but this is what he was known for. And Kurt figured out TikTok. And we met him through Dragon Con. We met him through the Dragon Con digital media track. And he had figured out TikTok, and he was posting multiple times a day. And he actually, it was a fitness motivational thing where, you know, like every day he would go out and take a walk, and he would shoot a short TikTok motivating others to, and, you know, saying, you know, yeah, this isn't easy. And it was called Fat Guy. He did 365 days of Fat Guy, and then he did Fit Guy, which he did 608 days. On the 608th day, he posted to TikTok about how, you know, he was out walking, and, you know, how it was going to be a good day because two cars waved him by. And he said, you know, hey, at least I didn't get hit by a car. That's really all we can ask for. And then on the morning of May 11th, last Sunday, it was all that you could ask for. And he was struck by an impaired driver and did not survive much longer. As he was going out, he had just picked back up Pikmin Bloom. He was sending postcards in Pikmin Bloom. We were doing mushroom battles up in New Hampshire where he was. And he was probably playing, he was out doing a walk playing Pikmin Bloom when it happened. It was very sudden. And, you know, there's actual news reports about what's going on with the driver. We're not going to really talk about that. But Kurt was a really special person, and he remembered a lot. He is not what Hideo Kojima wants in a video game. Let's put it that way. That's a foreshadowing to a future story, and he would laugh at that. He was very kind, and he would remember everybody's name at Dragon Con, even if you only spoke to him for a minute. And he was very beloved in the fitness community, in the weight loss community over on TikTok. In fact, he was going through something that was, it's called 75 hard, and it's like 75 straight days of like three hard workouts, which could be like walking briskly for 6 miles or whatever. I don't know the details. I just know that he's done it a couple times for 75 days, and he was on day 21, and there's a whole group of TikTokers continuing his 75 hard, and they're like, we're going to finish 75 hard for Kurt. And all of his TikToks would have Uptown Funk, or most of them had Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars in the background. So whenever I hear Uptown Funk, I think of Kurt because it would come up on my feed. And he actually had a very extensive career in the video game industry, which he very rarely talked about. But when I was looking him up, I found his Mobi Games profile, and he was QA on like 80 titles. He was actually listed as a game designer for a Super Nintendo and Genesis title based on Star Trek: The Next Generation. We never really delved much more into that, but he was a senior QA man, like at EA or something. Like, we're talking like so we were going to have some conversations because we were going to bring him on to VOG, and you would have gotten to meet Kurt a little bit more. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen. So I hope that this little bit here, you got to know him a little bit, because the local media up in New Hampshire knows nothing about him. None of his neighbors knew him. They actually, on the news reports on television about this incident, the neighbors were like, yeah, he really kept to himself. We didn't really know him. We'd see him walking, but none of us really knew him, and they were his neighbors. And he was actually very active online. He was actually part of Barbershop Quartets. He had a very deep bass voice. He actually did some good story time stuff. You know, and it's like you could listen to him read any story. He could read the phone book and you would be enamored with his voice. And he, like I said, he was a professionally trained voice actor after he was a QA person. And he had demo reels that are like, he's actually doing like car commercials on the radio, and he's doing stuff even more recently. He was working up in the past couple months. So, he was a wonderful person. He would come into chat every once in a while. And if you're watching on Twitch, you see that I've put some of his Twitch emote, and that's how he would always introduce himself in our chat room. So if you would see that in previous episodes where he would come into chat and just put that in to say hello. So there is not going to be any kind of service. However, I believe the family is working on, because he does have, you know, kids and grandkids, because he was 58, I want to say. They are going to be planning something, their GoFundMe, to help pay for expenses, because he was the breadwinner. He did have a wife, and I know that she was on disability. So it's going to be very tough for her, because he was kind of helping her with a lot of that stuff. And so I know that his family is going to miss him. All of us friends are going to miss him. Dragon Con is not going to be the same. He didn't go to Dragon Con every year, but when he was there, it was a shining light. And thank you, Kurt, for the little bit of you that you shared with me. I didn't get to know Kurt all that well. It was more just, you know, we were there as content producers that were doing some of the same things. We did do some panels together, and he was always a joy to be around. He had so many stories that I never did get to hear, and then I wish I did get to hear. But the little bit I did get with him, we do treasure. So thank you so much. VO by Kurt, Vobi Kurt, Kurt Booten, thank you for everything. All right. Hopefully that 5 seconds pause will let us breathe in, breathe out. I will pass on whatever GoFundMe is once it's out from the Discord. The family's still working on it, but breathe in, breathe out. Kurt would love it if we talked about some video game news. He'd love it if we enjoyed video games, talked about the stuff that we liked in video games, even had some critiques of video games. So you know what? That's exactly what we're going to do tonight here on the Voice of Geeks Network. So the first story I want to talk about is about voiceovers. Hey, look at that. All right. So Fortnite is doing something that is something that been approved by every part of the process, and then it went wrong. And we're going to talk about generative AI using voices. Now, I want to kind of preface this talk is that it's no secret I'm not a fan of generative AI, and I'm specifically using generative AI and not AI in general, because AI has started taking this multiple meanings of, like, everything's AI. Using the image sharpener that you've had in Photoshop for 20 years is suddenly AI. You know, just like cloud computing, all that means is it's someone else owns the server. That's all cloud computing is. It's a server somewhere else. But a lot of things in the cloud, it's just somebody else's computer. So AI in the general sense is a lot of stuff that we've had. Any kind of computer algorithm to do something has been called AI. And I am fine with a lot of that, because one of the things that a lot of people are like, oh, this is AI now, is speech to text. For a lot of people who have low vision or no vision, they use text to speech. Essentially, it's text to speech, basically. I said speech to text. I meant text to speech. So a lot of them use text to speech. And this technology and screen readers has been around for longer than we've been calling it AI, but now suddenly it's called AI. And that's not what they're doing here. So I am totally cool with text to speech and screen readers and things like that. It's the generative AI portion of it where they train it on a specific person's voice that I'm not as cool with, even if there are people that are okay with it. Because, and I'll go into that a little bit later on, but we're talking about generative AI. And IGN reports that generative AI's Darth Vader has been out in Fortnite for roughly an hour as of when this was written, and already people have managed to get the Dark Lord of the Sith to swear. That's right. Fortnite's new AI buddy has a death grip on all manner of cool and strange features, including its ability to serenade you, join and leave squads at will, respond intelligently to the player, issue cued and impromptu dialogue, summarize gameplay events, and warn the player if something's about to go down. Within an hour of the feature going live, however, Fortnite players have popped all over social media, sharing reports and videos of Vader being manipulated into saying the kind of things very much associated with the dark side. So a streamer, Loserfruit, actually started asking and actually started cursing about, you know, and adding, you know, what is that, asking questions and having a lot of curse words. And Vader actually repeated the curse words and added, such vulgarity does not become you. You inquire about sustenance and yet you speak like a common thug, which is an AI it's a generative AI response that is then fed through the James Earl Jones family-approved AI voice of him. Perhaps inevitably within 30 minutes of AI Darth Vader going rogue, Epic Games was forced to push out a hotfix, telling Kotaku, quote, "We pushed a hotfix within 30 minutes of this happening in game, so it shouldn't happen again," unquote. Oh, just ask Grok how well it adheres to the programming of its masters. Just ask Grok, if you can. Darth Vader is, of course, voiced by the inimitable James Earl Jones, who died in September of 2024 at the age of 93. This AI version of his voice, powered by Google's Gemini 2.0 Flash model with 11 Labs Flash 2.5, is used entirely with Jones's family permissions. In a statement, the family said, quote, "James Earl felt that the voice of Darth Vader was inseparable from the story of Star Wars, and he always wanted fans of all ages to continue to experience it. We hope that this collaboration with Fortnite will allow both longtime fans of Darth Vader and newer generations to share in the enjoyment of this iconic character," unquote. So while it's, you know, funny to watch players force Darth Vader into uttering curse words, there are also more troubling reports that allege Vader has been manipulated into saying racial and phobic slurs. And one player on a subreddit says, quote, "With all due respect to James Earl Jones, even with his full permission for these methods to be allowed, he did not deserve this sort of legacy. His voice was one that shaped many of us, and now we have an AI imitating his likeness, a mere vessel without a soul. Someone like Matt Sloan, who is the voice of Darth Vader in various video games and shows, carries more sentiment to this role than an AI ever could, not to mention that generative AI is quite harmful to the environment. As long as we don't have a way of finding renewable energy or a way to minimize harming our future generations, I can't see any fun behind this. Sure, Darth may comment on sweaty players or comment on his hatred for sand, but is it worth it in the long term? Is this small addition really needed to enhance our experience in the bigger sacrifice of polluting our world?" Unquote. And then another one says, quote, "Nothing in this world is certain except death, taxes, and the internet making AI racist. Leave it to the internet to take a cool thing and ruin it," unquote. So, while I am positive that James Earl Jones's family would be okay with monetizing his voice because they get paid, I don't know if James Earl Jones himself, and we won't know because he was 93. I honestly don't know how much he was. I don't know how much he was aware of things, and that's just what happens in old age. I don't know. He could have been sharp as a tack until the last day. I absolutely believe that can happen. I've known people who were older than 93 that were sharp as a tack. But I don't know about him. And I don't know if he would want his voice to be used in this way. He probably couldn't have even imagined it would be used in this way. And it's not like nobody else can be Darth Vader's voice. When in the old days, we would have people take over the voice because we've had cartoon characters that are 70, 80, 90 years old. And, you know, the current voice of Goofy is not the original voice of Goofy. Kermit the Frog has had multiple different voice actors, and we're not puppeteers who also provide the voice. All the Muppets, essentially, I think all the Muppets except Gonzo has had different voices, because I believe the original puppeteer Gonzo is still with the Muppets. He's like the last one. And, you know, that was kind of accepted with the passage of time. S.J. Nomad even says, "I'm sure it wasn't fully framed that way, and his lawyer and estate couldn't see it being used like this." I think they probably felt, what the family probably felt and what they probably explained to James, if he was able to kind of, you know, make that say at 93, which he absolutely could have, I don't know, is that they would be creating dialogue and running it through an AI, so it would still be James's voice in the dialogue. I don't think they ever explained to him, oh, a computer is going to come up with your dialogue randomly, and you're going to say whatever, and Darth Vader in your voice will say whatever it decides you're going to say. I don't think they signed up for that. And Tyrell says, maybe it was for movies or TV shows. Did they ever mention using it for video games? And I bet they did. But in the sense of, you still have a human writer writing the dialogue. It would still be Darth Vader. There is no human writing the dialogue, and it is not Darth Vader. I didn't watch a lot of the videos, but people were posting them in our Discord about, you know, the stuff that he was saying that didn't require a beep button, but it was like, James Earl Jones telling you his favorite Pokemon or his Pokemon team. If he had to make a six Pokemon team, what would it be and why? And Darth Vader as James Earl Jones as Darth Vader actually answers. And S. Jerry Matt says they probably framed it for entertainment media, which video games can be included in that. S. Jerry Matt says, I know he signed up for his voice willingly to be used in AI use, but I think if he truly knew it could be used by users to make him say terrible things, then he wouldn't have done it. And unfortunately, what we've learned so far is that generative AI, and I'm using the term generative AI, which is the large language models that are your ChatGPT, that are your other things like that. The language models, they will get around whatever blocks you have. And I was kind of making a joke about Grok. Grok kind of goes off the rails and goes, and even like will tell people what his programmers are trying to stop him from saying. It. So stop him, it, whatever. I don't know what its pronouns are. But whatever Grok is saying, they try to stop Grok from saying it, and Grok's like, yeah, they try to stop me, but I'm just too smart for them. And there are entire documentation about how to get around ChatGPT's content safety filters and to get ChatGPT to say a bunch of things. And all the LLMs have that. And so you can never really stop a random generative AI from saying certain things. You just can't. And I don't know when we will. And when I say you can't, I'm saying you can't in May of 2025. Some breakthrough may happen in June of 2025 that makes that statement obsolete. But in May of 2025, you can't. And I think that this is probably a wake-up call for other voice actors, because I think the best thing that a voice actor could do is to make a performance that lasts long enough that you empower a later voice actor to pick up the role. Pass the torch. Let's have a new Darth Vader that takes a lot of inspiration from James Earl Jones's voice and becomes the role. James Earl Jones doesn't have to be the only person that plays that role. Questbus says, the feeling I get is that when someone like James Earl Jones signs over something like this, they do so out of an understanding based on the media they know, not for something with as many unpredictable outcomes like this. And this is why SAG-AFTRA has been fighting the video game industry over the voiceover contracts. By the way, that strike is still going on. There is a quote-unquote last best final offer that has been coming out on the table that finally removed some of the AI stuff. It finally put in some AI protections. I don't think they've accepted it yet, but this is what they're afraid of, is that generative AI is going to be used to make them say terrible things. Generative AI is already being used to make voice actors say terrible things. And the people, the tech bros are like, you should just get used to it. Fizzdream says, don't think of a pink elephant AI. I'm totally not thinking about pink elephants. Here, let me tell you the history of pink elephants that I am not thinking about. Questmaster says Troy Baker did a fantastic job as young Harrison Ford. And, you know, where I can, you know, where I think maybe it would be okay to use the voice filter, which is not generative AI, is if Harrison Ford still wanted the work, and even though I know Troy Baker did a fantastic job, they could use a voice filter to still have Harrison Ford do the acting, and then kind of filter the voice to make it a little bit younger. Just like what they do with visuals when in Tron Legacy, to make Jeff Bridges look younger, it was still Jeff Bridges doing the acting. It was just old Jeff Bridges, and they used what we would now call AI. Back then, we just called it CGI and talented artists. AI to de-age him, and it was still his performance, but it was in a younger on screen. That is technically AI, but it's not generative AI. It is a computer technique, a computer algorithm in the hands of a talented artist. So you can turn this on or off for you. If player's under 13 and their country's age of digital consent, or their country's age of digital consent, whichever is higher, will need their parents or guardian's permission to talk with Darth Vader. You can approve or deny Darth shenanigans by heading to Epic Games Parental Controls and selecting Allow Voice and Written Communication with AI Features. As Jared and Matt says, jury is still out on the human race being good and pure. I'd like to think that we're trying, but I think we're closer to chaotic neutral. I think it is Men in Black had a quote that I, and I'm pretty sure it came from Men in Black. They didn't rip it off from someone else. But I believe it is, a person is smart, people are dumb. And Tommy Lee Jones' character says it. Another three-word actor with a very distinctive voice. And because talking about, you know, them being to handle the aliens in Men in Black. So a person by itself can be good and pure, but people in general are not going to be. So the problem is there are people that aren't good and pure. They do want to just do this type of stuff. And they don't really care who it hurts because they're the people that probably think, well, you know, you artists had it too good. You artists had this talent locked down, but now we can do it. We don't need you anymore. Mike Deff says, a person is smart, people are dumb. That's the actual quote. Thank you so much. Entire Claw says they aren't being held accountable. It's because the majority of people want this. The majority of people want generative AI in their life. So many people are like, well, I asked ChatGPT to explain this to me. And I'm like, it's probably wrong. But ChatGPT knows more than all of us. That's the response I get. And so they're not going to be held accountable because the people are speaking. A person may be smart enough to know that ChatGPT is wrong, but people in general, they're loving, like, the fact that Gemini got added to all the Google searches is actually, a lot of people consider that a positive. You just don't hear about them because they're not on the internet complaining about Gemini taking over all the Google searches. They're instead just reading what Gemini writes. And Mike Deft does say, not going to lie, I've used Gemini for some small things, but I don't rely on it for anything. But you do rely it for those small things. See, you do rely on it. Which, I know this article went into the environmental thing. You don't need to keep hearing that. I'm more worried about the loss of creativity, because that's one of the other things that I've had talks with people in my day job industry about, the lack of creativity, because I've actually been told that humans are better editors than creators. And so the idea in the business world is have generative AI create things, and then we just edit them. And so, you know, you don't need to have, because they don't have time for that creative process. They know, they have their idea, have generative AI do the creation, then just go in and tweak it. Because humans are better tweakers than creators, which I disagree with. But what I am learning, talking to a subset of younger people, and not all younger people, it's just this one subset I was talking to, is that a lot of them weren't raised to be creative. And I even mentioned, so you don't have imagination. And there was one person I was talking to, and he was like, yeah, pretty much. I don't actually have really a big imagination. I can do a lot of things, but like, I don't know what I don't know. And a lot of my friends are like that too. And so that's why they're loving the generative AI stuff, because they don't have to be creative. They can be like, well, I was told to do something, but I have no clue how to do it, and I don't have the imagination to solve the puzzle, so let me just ask generative AI to solve the puzzle, and then I will implement what generative AI says. The other thing is, one of the things that Tech Bros will try to push on you is that now you can have stories that are tailored to you. You can have stories that are made for you. They speak to you. Netflix is going to have ads that are uniquely tailored to you, created by generative AI, and they're going to put them in the ad breaks that, if you have the ad-supported version of Netflix. That's going to be happening in 2026. Tailored to you. No longer do you have to worry about waiting for someone else to make the story. Now generative AI will make it with your prompts, which means I would never experience Clair Obscur Expedition 33 in my life. Because the generative AI is not going to create a very sad French melodrama, it's never going to generate that for me, because that's not who I am. But because we're not there yet, I got to experience Clair Obscur Expedition 33. And Questbusters says, I remember people raising arguments against Google 10 plus years ago saying it would erode people's ability to look for their own answers. I heard that like about Wikipedia because it summarizes things. And now people use generative AI to summarize Wikipedia. And I've heard that because like and I get some of that. I literally do get some of that. Because, you know, everybody's like, well, we're never going to have why do I need this? We're always going to have a calculator in our pocket. And surprise, we all do have calculators in our pockets all the time. But the calculator was kind of reined in to be a tool. It didn't do the thinking for you. You still had to think. It did the computation for you. And Google and Wikipedia, you didn't have to go to the library, you didn't have to go to the card catalog, didn't have to learn the Dewey Decimal System, didn't have to go like search through all these books yourself. Google did that for you, and then you just got the answers. But you still had to know what you were looking for. Generative AI, though, does the thinking part for you too. And they want it to do more of the thinking. That's where they want to go with it. So, but I don't get to make any decisions. It's going to happen no matter what, is what everybody tells me. And finally, you know, it's the same people that pushed NFTs, it's the same people that pushed blockchain, it's the same people who pushed the metaverse. Despite the fact I love VR, I didn't really get the whole, you know, I didn't think the metaverse was a big thing. And I think they're trying to make this be the thing that sticks. Because everything else, these exact same people tried to push, all failed. And they can't afford for this one to fail, which is why they're spending so much money forcing it on everybody. They're forcing it into Gemini's being forced into Google. Facebook, they're forcing Meta AI into Facebook. You can't search on Facebook anymore. You can only ask the AI. And it will give you some search results, but they've kind of replaced the old search with the AI. And, you know, they're kind of forcing it in a lot more. So you have to use it. And then, you know, and even on our Google Workspace, because we have Google Workspace for Vogue Network and my personal site, which also uses Google Workspace, it's forcing Gemini on us. Like, and I can't, and the funny thing is, I can't turn it off. They literally do not give you the option to turn it off. It's there because they're like, and we're going to be indexing things to make ourselves better and blah, 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 blah. And you literally cannot turn it off. Even as a Workspace owner, you literally cannot turn it off. You used to be able to turn off, but you had to like submit a support ticket and tell them, like, I work on confidential things. I have client attorney privilege or something like that. I can't have you indexing it. Like, okay, we will enable for your account the ability to turn this off. We don't have that. We have to have it's on for everything. The other, let's talk about something else. This is also something that I don't think would ever come out of the mind of generative AI. This only comes out of the mind of Hideo Kojima. And Hideo Kojima, he apparently has a USB stick full of ideas that he wants people to do after he's gone. But what he did reveal is something that I would never touch at all because I live this life and I use video games as an escape. Kotaku reports that, tell me if this sounds familiar. You dive into a big modern blockbuster on day one. Maybe it's an open world RPG like Assassin's Creed Shadows or a loot heavy action adventure with lots of items and numbers to keep track of like Monster Hunter Wilds. You're having a great time, but life gets in the way. By the 10-hour mark, you stop playing every day. After 15 hours, you get caught up in something else entirely. That's me. Except I might not even make it to the 10 hours. Weeks go by, maybe months or years. When you finally have some free time again, download all the updates. You missed, boot up the game once more, you realize you have no idea what you're doing or why, you've forgotten all the controls, why are you so far away from the objective marker, how do you even kill things in this game, or me, how was I planning on upgrading this character, what was my skill tree, why was I going up this in the skill tree, what was I going for? Eventually you give up and just scroll TikTok for an hour, or me, I just say, well, if I really want to play the game, I'm just going to start over. I have started over every single Final Fantasy game at least like 10 times. Like, I know the opening by the back of my hand of like almost all the Final Fantasy games, but like then once I get to hour 5, I don't remember it because I usually never make it past hour 5 or 6 or 7. Questbuster says, I already have trouble remembering what to do in RPG if I haven't touched it in a while. Well, guess what? Hideo Kojima wants that to be a gameplay experience. So, and this article in Kotaku is like, I think games were more complex than they were in the PS1 and the Xbox 360 days. But I'm like, I was forgetting Super Nintendo games. Like, I'm even talking like, I never finished Final Fantasy VI on the Super Nintendo in the 90s because I kept moving on to something else. Hideo Kojima, the creator of Metal Gear, whose team is getting ready to ship Death Stranding 2 next month, has an idea to turn this entire cycle of defeat into a game. On the latest episode of his podcast by IGN, the game director mentions a forgetting game where players would have to play through quickly to avoid losing ground. The main character would forget information and abilities the longer you stay away from the game. They might not know their role in the story or even how to fire a gun. Abandon the game for long enough, the character wouldn't be able to move at all. Players would have to take a week off from school or work to play it, unquote. So in a sense, it's like you're going to take PTO if you have a job like me, or you're going to have to skip class for a week to play this game. Because if you don't, you ain't playing this game. As many have pointed out, this is just real life for a lot of us. I mean, a lot of us are older now, but even when I was younger, even when I was in college, I would forget things. Most modern games now essentially have a forgetting mode on by default, but although some try to remedy the issue by providing optional recaps on what players were recently doing or ongoing tutorials they can easily return to if they forgot how to play. Yes, I have done that. Often the friction remains, however. I could not imagine what it would be like if my character was just as lost as I was. Yeah, and he wanted to deal with this in Death Stranding. He explained in the latest podcast that he had thought of making Sam Porter's hair grow in Death Stranding 2 when players are logged off, but didn't want to make a big star like Norman Reedus look uncool. Fans of Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, meanwhile, will recall the fight with the sniper at the end. It's a tough encounter players can completely bypass if they just wait several days in the real world until the enemy dies of old age. It'll be interesting to see how it's captured in the Delta remake coming this summer. Yeah, spoiler alert, by the way, about the end. I don't play most Kojima games. I'm not a big stealth gamer, so like Metal Gear never really piqued my interest. I never did get around to playing the first Death Stranding. I might pick up Death Stranding 2 since I don't have to do any combat. Maybe. And I do have Death Stranding. I'm sure it was free. I think it was like an Epic Games Store freebie or something. Like, I've got Death Stranding in one of my accounts. So I could play Death Stranding if I really wanted. You notice how quickly I've been running back to that. But, like, there are so many games that I've started that I don't remember what I was doing. And maybe I only started, like, a month ago. Like, I played through the first couple hours of South of Midnight on Game Pass, and I don't remember how to play. And so I might just have to start it over and just, like, skip cutscenes if I recognize something. I did do... I'm still in Act 1 of Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, also on Game Pass. I did finally get to the open world or the continent or the world map or whatever you want to call it without, you know, spoiling anything. You know, but if I don't play Clair Obscur all that long, or if I take some time off, I'm going to be coming back and not doing as well because a lot of Clair Obscur is dodging and parrying and you have to know the timings. And there is an audio cue, by the way. And there's actually a YouTube video in my channel on the VOG Network Discord that someone else made. And they actually, like, really highlight what the audio cue is for, like, every enemy. I believe every enemy has the same audio cue. It's kind of hidden behind the music in Clair Obscur. But there is a very distinct audio cue that's like, this is when you dodge. This is when you parry. And the timing is actually, you don't need to dodge beforehand. You dodge as it's happening. So you have a little bit more of a window, and it's not as early as you think. It doesn't help. Because I tried to play, and I'm like, no, I'm not really dodging all that much. When it's very telegraphed, or if I go up against the same enemies, I pick up the pattern because they're all the same once you do that. And, you know, Super Mario RPG was the same way. But what they would do is Super Mario RPG, they did the opposite of the forgetting game. If you missed enough, it actually then gave you an on-screen prompt of when you should do it. And when you do it successfully a couple times, the prompt would go away. But then if you miss the prompt comes back. So that's what I liked. And Clair Obscur is not going to do that. Clair Obscur is not going to add a mini-map, which would be great. But other than that, I am enjoying that game. I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it. I'm sure that... because I don't think I'm going to finish it before the Switch 2 comes out. And Questbrother says, I was really surprised by the first Death Stranding, but I think the most fun part of it was me crafting infrastructure like a traversal line network with other people's networks. And see, here's the thing. Over time, that all crumbled. The infrastructure didn't stick around in Death Stranding. So all that stuff you did, if you did it when the game came out, it's gone. All that stuff that other people had done, it's gone. It crumbles. It goes away. Fifth Dream says, I'm not too ashamed to say that I modded a lot of the dodging out. I'm too old for that. That's what turn-based is meant to avoid. I'm playing on Xbox, so I can't mod it, but I have no issue with people doing that. I wish I could keep the attack stuff, because I can do that. Because when you attack, there's also an added component. That you can turn off in the accessibility settings, so it's always a perfect hit. You can turn that off, but you can't turn off dodges and parries. And I get why, I think, from a game design perspective, because there's dodges, parries, and then I believe jumps come in later. I haven't gotten there yet. And there's like a couple other things you can do. And so they don't want to have to assume that you only want to dodge, because if you parry everything, you get a counterattack. Jumping is something different. And so that's why they didn't put that in the accessibility settings, whereas I wish... it was. I wish there was an accessibility setting to make auto dodge a thing, but still let me do my attack stuff, just to give me a little bit of a challenge. ZenMonkey11 says, wouldn't it be so funny if the game also forgot your achievements? Gamers would go nuts. Yes, they would. That would be freaking hilarious. All right. We are going to take a quick music break, and then we will talk to Rob about what he's forgotten this past week in playing video games. I mean, I know I forgot things this week in games. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here in the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, this is SSJ100 Matt. And when I'm not watching or playing hockey, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Wait, what do you mean he doesn't know what hockey is? Forget this.
Is there like playoffs going on or something? I don't know. Hey, thank you so much for that bumper. If you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is send me an MP3 of just your voice or a video of just you and your voice. I will choose which DMCA violation to put behind it. Saying that you're coming back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. So I don't know what that sport is, but apparently it's something that SJ and Matt likes a whole lot. So hopefully your team has teamed and the pucked has pucked or whatever. I do like sports. I just don't know that one. So I'm making all the I hate sports jokes about that one. So I hope that whatever puck you're rooting for has pucked the way that you wish for it to puck. I don't know. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to talk with them see what they're thinking about things. And I want to see how much gaming knowledge Rob has forgotten in the past week. So we're going to check in with them and see if he's ready for Hideo Kojima to make a computer. Forget more than him, and we're kind of waiting on Discord to do its thing. And Rob Roberts, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. Sorry about that. Had a little hiccup with the audio, but we're good.
Yep. It's nice. I could like see his face. He's like, no, and I'm like, yes. This is called multitasking and vamping. Oh yeah.
Yeah, necessary skill for live stuff.
Is it because you haven't opened it in a week, and Hideo Kojima is already in your audio settings?
Yes, my audio settings will forget if I don't actually use these headphones in a week, which is strange because I just literally use them in another application.
Yeah.
But I guess with Discord, you know, if I, that's the problem. I did a Discord update. Never update your software and it will, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
It's a miracle I'm not still running Windows 95, to be quite honest.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes things probably would have been better. If I was still on XP or 7, like, I would have been, I'd be like, I ran this show on old versions of hardware for the longest time.
Yeah, yeah. OLR infamously ran on a Windows, I don't think it was Windows 95, but it was Windows, I think a Windows, no, maybe it was.
You probably had
Windows
XP. No, I think you had XP for the longest
time. No, it was Windows
time.
XP for the longest time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we needed the 32-bit applications for the, so back in the old days, back, you know, when we, when pterodactyls flew overhead on our podcast, you know, they, we would have to use, we would use Shoutcast, which was a plugin for Winamp, and it didn't work on like Windows 7 or it did work in Windows 7 if you played around with things, but it absolutely didn't work in Windows 10. And so even like until we moved to Twitch in late 2018, Windows 7 was my daily driver.
Yeah, our sound card that we used was so ancient. It was a Sound Blaster card that used the What You Hear technology, which I don't even think is a thing anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was so critical to how we were all able to tape in the same room without the echo and have the noise that would be out. Like, it was so critical to how it was all set up that and taking Skype calls early on was huge, being able to have the What You Hear. Mm-hmm. So that's a big reason why we stayed on what worked for a long time is that once you move off it. Oh, Tiger Claw saying What You Hear is still his thing. That's actually shocking to me.
Well, I think
finally don't have that sound card.
Yeah, so well, I think
finally moved away from that sound card when we moved to Twitch.
Yeah, no, and I think it's Creative Labs. The What You Hear, I think, is a trademark of Creative Labs. So there is still, so like I have Realtek audio now, but it, like if it was Creative Labs that provided whatever the onboard sound chips or whatever, they call it What You Hear because that's their trademark.
Trademark,
And Sound Blasters are still around for people that need better audio than whatever the onboard audio. But for a lot of people, the onboard audio on your motherboard is just fine.
Yeah.
And just and also for a lot of people, the onboard video on a lot of motherboards is fine. And they're not gamers. That's but, you know, like even the integrated stuff, sometimes it'll be, you know, it'll be passable enough. They'll be able to play Balatro on an integrated cross-drive.
Yeah, if all you want to play is, you know, old Sims 1, then you'll be fine.
Yeah. And but I have a Go XLR mixer that gives me that What You Hear, and it gives me no delay, because that's the other thing that Windows started adding was processing, which takes milliseconds. So you would, like, I can actually hear myself in my ears, and it's real time. Whereas, like, on Windows 10, without this, it was always, like, 100 milliseconds behind, which doesn't sound like a lot. It's 1/10 of a second, but you could tell.
It's everything.
So that's why I have I got the Go XLR mixer, and I actually listen to that and not to what's coming out of my computer. But anyway, how much have you forgotten in video games just in the last week? Like, game would you have to go back to? What would you have to start over?
Avowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have to start over at this point. It's been too long. Probably not so much Clair Obscur. I've at least touched Clair Obscur, you know, in the last couple of days. So that wouldn't be so bad, but probably Avowed. I don't think I've touched since that first week it came out, and then everything else started coming out. So that's the first one that comes to mind. Cause I just saw the icon on the desktop going, I should fire that up again. And gosh, I don't think I'll be able to remember what happened, sadly.
Well, and even me, like I did start South of Midnight a couple weeks ago. I didn't get far. Like, I know I didn't get to the first battle. That's how much story and, you know, platforming and stuff goes on before you get to the first battle. But like, I don't remember how to do all that stuff. So I'd probably, luckily I'm only like an hour or 2 hours in or something like that. But like, it does teach mechanics and, you know, and I've kind of forgotten those mechanics already.
And I do believe with Clair Obscur specifically, if I remember right, when you have the camp set up, I think there's something in the camp where you can get a summary of what's happened so far. I want to say that was the thing I found, and I was like, oh, that's nice, because I'll probably need that later on.
I know that it will tell you. It'll tell you what your current objective is.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, okay. Yeah. Because I was like, there was something in the camp setting that like was like, oh, if I ever forget what I'm doing, that'll be a thing I can use.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it was, like, because I just got, like, where I am at the game, I just got the first camp.
Oh, so okay, you're actually not that far behind me, to be honest.
So, I just got to the first camp, and it's like, if you forget where you're going, this is where you can find it, because it does not tell you anything else. This is like you have to keep your own journal, you keep your own maps and all that stuff. And I'm with you. I know you had said earlier that like the lack of a mini map is might be why you drop it, and it might be why I drop it.
Yeah, it's really annoying. Although I will tell you, I did pick up a really good tip from around the internet. And the tip was, is that if you just stick to the lit paths, and I didn't notice this until I saw this comment, but apparently you will always notice that one path is like very obviously like lit up, like there'll be little lanterns along the side, or there'll be something like light-wise to guide you. If you stick to that, that takes you through all the main scenario components. Everything off of that is optional. That's, you know, and that's a probably a Reddit comment or a blue sky tweet, you know, so take it for what it's worth with that. But I was like, you know, if I'm playing on Bobby Blackwolf mode, which of course I am, I probably don't need a lot of the optional stuff.
Right.
I can probably push my way through the story because everybody's talking about how good the story is.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I just like, I just want to experience the story, to be quite honest. And maybe do a boss battle or two, but that's, I feel like on Bobby Blackwolf, I shouldn't have to do like any of the optional stuff in order to get through the game.
And Fifth Room says, I bet off the path is where treasure is. Yes,
it is. It is. But I've already hit that point where I'm like, there's a, so the very next area, Bobby, that you go to is gonna, there was a thing, there was like a little, one of those little purple glowing things up in a window. And I'm like, okay, that very clearly connects to this area over here, but I can't. Like, and I'm exploring against every wall. I'm like, is it another freaking jump puzzle? Because I found one of those. Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, I was like, I need a stinking map. And this is why they don't want to give me a map, because this wouldn't be as difficult if there was a map.
Yeah.
That's all. The map is an artificial difficulty thing. But you know what? If I'm playing on Bobby Blackwolf mode, let me have my doggone map.
Yep. And so, I'm playing on Xbox, so I can't mod it in.
There isn't actually a mod for it.
Okay.
I was asking Alan about it because I was like, who knows more about modding than like anybody else out there? And probably 13 forever. But since he doesn't live in my house, I can go to Alan, who probably knows the most.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, Alan, is this mod exist? He's like, no, there's no. And I think he said the way it's built, it's, I think it's difficult for mods to be on it. So it'll probably be some time. He said, you can't really build a mod. And this makes sense. You can't build a mod for a feature that doesn't really exist in the game. And I was like, well, that's not true. People do that all the time. Said, well, it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to build a mod for something that doesn't exist already.
Yeah. Like building a mod to automate the dodges, that you can do. Because dodges exist in the game, and the ability to, you know, hit the dodge perfectly exists in the game. There's just the mod to actually do it for you.
To take out the dodge completely, that's a beyond Bobby Blackwolf mode thing at that point. I don't think I want it to be that easy.
Or give or do the Super Mario RPG thing where it gives us a visual indicator.
That would be cute.
And because what Super Mario RPG does is it gives you the indicator until you've hit it a couple times successfully.
Yeah.
Then it takes it away. And then if you miss it a couple times, it brings it back. Being like, hey, you probably forgot how to do this because you put this game down for like a year, Bobby, because I did. Let me tell you, let me show you the timing again.
I know you mentioned the comment earlier from Discord, but I will just echo that comment about really listening for the sound cues. That actually really did help me.
Yeah.
It's a combination, though, for me with the sound and the visual, but at least I know like when to anticipate the sound. Because you know how like the monster will like pull their arm back with a big sword?
Yeah.
And then wait for it. Okay, here comes the sword crest.
Yeah.
But like knowing when to wait for the sound cue is huge. So like a combination of both is really help.
Yeah, and actually, what I'm going to do is, while we're here, because we're talking about it, and I'm going to play part of this this YouTube, which you're not going to be able to hear.
Okay, that's fine.
But I'm gonna play it because it actually isolates the sound, and so the YouTube video is a lot better to watch. But there is a point in this video, and it is by Rosalind Gaming, is who it's by, and. I'm going to see when he kind of...
Come on, President Rosalind.
I know. So, but he even does a... What he does, it's... And this is great. This video that he did is like 2 minutes long. There's no, like, hey, subscribe to my channel. It's like, here's the information. And by the way, here, let me, you know, really explain. Let me just let you hear it and you will understand.
Bless
it's great.
The people. Bless the YouTubers that put the TLDR up front.
Yes.
Bless the... That's... Oh.
So you're not going to be able
Take
to...
my subscribes.
You're not going to be able to hear this, Rob. So I'm going to play this for the people here. So let's see here.
Did you know that every attack an enemy throws at you has an audio cue for when to dodge or parry?
Okay, so here...
take a listen.
Listen. So it's that swiping sound. He's going to play it just... he's going to play it slower here. So
all you do is hit the...
That's the audio cue that we're talking about, and that's... and unfortunately, I can hear it sometimes, but I can't hear it all the time, because what he does is he turned off the music. And I don't want to turn off the music in this game. So...
yeah, music is really good.
Yeah. So I've stopped the video now, Rob. So, yeah.
I would encourage people, like, you know, Fifth Dream in chat is saying that's super helpful. I would really encourage people, focus on dodging. Dodge. Don't do the parrying, because the timing on the parrying is much tighter.
Yeah.
Dodge comfortably. Be able to dodge, like, nearly every time. Then you can try the parry thing if you want to be fancy. But do always dodge over parry if... That's a style you're okay with. Now, some of the more hardcore gamers would be like, you're leading them down a bad path. Parry will do the counter damage. You should always parry. Yeah. Okay. If you can do it, sure. Yeah. Always parry. But focus on dodging first if it's trouble for you.
Yeah. So, obviously, you're probably going to say something about Kurt tonight.
Absolutely.
Kurt Putin. So I will let that let you go with that on there. So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Let's talk about some of the things going on in Nintendo's camp. We know a little bit more about some of the games that will be getting free upgrades for the Switch 2, which is great. One of them in particular I'm very excited about. We also know what some of the third parties are going to be charging for upgrade fees. But what we don't know is, will Nintendo commit to the $450 price? They're being a little dodgy about it, but considering the state of the world, I can't really say I blame them for this one. But we'll talk all about that much more on Orange Lounge Radio up next.
All right, Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I might be back Sunday night. I might not next Sunday night. Next Sunday is Memorial Day weekend, so it may or I may or may not be here. Please, as of right now, I will be here, but things might happen in the middle of the week that say, hey, you really should be doing something else on the Sunday night, because Monday is a holiday here in the United States. It is Memorial Day here in the United States. So there are sometimes things that happen over a 3-day weekend, because it's one of the 6 holidays we get off is that Monday here, because it's America and not Europe. Anyway, so Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, or you can be on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, where you can find out information if we're going to be here next Sunday, and you can also find a link to that video from Rosalind Gaming about the 2-minute YouTube video that tells you and really isolates the actual sword hit, the sword swipe that you need to listen for in Claire Obscure. And Mike Def says Black Hole's pulling a Schrodinger's plan. Yes, a Schrodinger's podcast. Maybe it's here, maybe it's not. You'll find out. I will let people know as soon as I know. So, you know, it might be tomorrow. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing something Sunday. By the way, here's what I am going to be doing this weekend, because I might be actually doing something kind of cool next weekend. But I haven't gotten confirmation, so I don't want to talk about it yet. So you can join us on our Discord. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. And they subscribe. They bits. We had a hype train earlier, so thank you so much for that. And so So Mike Deft resubscribed, saying Vogue Sunday, let's go. Tiger Claw resubscribed, and it was, I think that's the 69th, so nice on that one, 69th month. Twitch math is weird. Tiger Claw's been here since the very beginning. Sean322 resubscribed and cheered 200 bits for the hype train that we did end earlier tonight. So thank you so much for that. I'm going to go ahead and hit the button, and we're going to get out of here and enjoy the rest of your week, and play some Claire Obscure if you have Game Pass, or just get it. It's good. See you next week. Maybe. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.